Video Film Podcast.
All right.
This episode features two movies, as usual. Ari Aster's Eddington and Peter Bogdanovich's Paper Moon.
Yeah, and for a little context, Eddington came out this year and Paper Moon came out way back in 1973. And that's why they hadn't discovered color at that time, amazingly.
Peter Bogdanovich said, "I get to do whatever I want now after the Last Picture Show. I can make movies set in 1935 in black and white. They don't even have to be widescreen. I will use my clout any which way I please."
Have you seen Last Picture Show?
I have.
Wow. No.
It's honestly not great.
No?
I don't get it. It's just a bunch of like teenagers being like, I don't like this town. I don't like this town either. Let's have sex. Well, I still don't like this town. Hmm. Oh, it's boring.
Did you like Paper Moon?
Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I think it's a fantastic movie where there's not a lot of crazy shit going on. It's just a guy getting to know a little girl who's maybe his daughter, maybe not.
Right.
He's not a bad guy. He's not a good guy. He doesn't have a lot of scruples, but he does take care of this child. And he lives up to his word of getting her $200 and getting her to her destination. And they make a little team. And it's just a fun movie.
Well, I don't think he did get her $200.
I guess eventually, he will, because when she brought that up to him at the end, why she had to stay with him, he accepted that.
Right.
Even though obviously that's not the real reason. He just wanted to give her a life of crime.
Of crime.
I guess.
Well, he missed her.
Yeah.
He missed her, and he didn't like that he had to leave her. He liked her.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to stay with the perfectly wonderful home that he left her in with loving parents.
That's right. The crime is in her genes, and she wants the action.
I like that it went the other way, that you assume that she's going to get to that home, and they're going to be like, "What are you doing here?" And they're going to...
Yeah.
They're going to not want her there, and it's going to be evident that he's leaving her in a bad situation, and then he's going to take her back, and they escape together. But it didn't go that way.
No.
They drop her off, and the woman's like, "Oh, I've been so worried about you. Let's get you a piece of apple pie, and let's get you into some new clothes, and you're going to love meeting all your brothers and sisters, and everything's... Mm. We love you so much." And then she still takes off because she's like, "Fuck this place," which is great. I didn't see that coming.
No, that was one of the best parts, is that little fake out. And you knew that, I guess you knew that she was going to leave. That's how these movies go. But like you said, you didn't think that they were going to be nice. And you thought there'd be no reason for her to stay.
I didn't know that she was going to leave at that point. I didn't know.
No?
I thought it could have been a sad ending where he drives off and he leaves her, and she's left in a good situation, but he is sad that he left her, and he could drive off into the sadness.
Mm.
I didn't know which way it was going to go. I didn't know she was going to leave the perfectly loving home and really not give any explanation. She just runs down the road and finds him and says like, "Hey, you still owe me $200. And he's like, "Well, I don't care. I don't even want you around anymore."
Mm.
And she's like, "Well, too bad. You're taking me." And they don't even speak what they're really feeling. That's it's a good, good movie. I wish it was in color. Fuck black and white. But what are you gonna do?
For once, I didn't wish the movie was in color, because I think it gave you a bit more of a sense of that time and place, the starkness of the landscape, and like it just couldn't look. Like, if you filmed it nicely, it could probably look nice, But they didn't want it to look nice. They didn't want it to look inviting. They just wanted it to look shitty. And it did. And you just, everything you saw, you were like, man, I wouldn't want to live in this fucking place and time. Whereas I'm sure he could have shot it and made the deserts and the flatlands look gorgeous.
Bah, blah. I don't buy it. I don't buy any of it. It's
They did
easier to film this
actually.
stuff in black and white. It's easier, and
Yeah.
then you look more pretentious. You look like it's more of an important movie when you're like, I'm going to make this look shitty
Yeah.
because I choose to, because it's so important. And fuck you filmmakers that do
If
that.
anyone knows pretentious, it's Peter Bogdanovich.
I don't
He's
know
the
anything about the
king.
guy. He's
No, you've
always.
never seen his million interviews where he's like, I was hanging out with Orson Welles and he said, you're the greatest person alive.
No.
It was like every time he does any kind of like interview or whatever, he's like, ah, man, I was doing this amazing thing. And this guy said, wow, you're so amazing at that. And he's like, yep, I guess so. And he talks about all his famous friends and everything and like, 14th century painters and stuff like that. And you're like, wow, what a fucking dick.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast my opinion of somebody drops when they tell a story about how someone was telling them that they're the smartest person in the world, and they said, "Well, I don't know all that much, but I'll take it." You know, like it just, I'm like, just
Yeah.
such a, what is it, a humble brag, right? Not even a humble
Yeah.
brag. It's not even humble.
The one he talks about for this movie is he came up with the title Paper Moon because he heard the song Paper Moon and he was like, this is cool for the movie. And then he kind of rewrote the movie to add the Paper Moon at the fair. And he called up and he told people and they were like, I don't like the title. You change it back to Addie Pray, which is what the book's called. And then he calls up Orson Welles and he says, I want to name this movie Paper Moon. And Orson Welles says, that's such a great title. You don't even need to make the movie. Just put out the title or something. And that was like his response. And he told that story on the DVD, which I did forget to mention. I thought it was shot in widescreen because for some reason the DVD is widescreen, but it's not. So did you watch it in widescreen or was it full frame?
Honestly, I don't know.
Because that was, I don't know if that was like something that Criterion did that they shouldn't have done, or I don't know. I don't know if P Peter Bogdanovich allowed that because usually the Criterion Collection is very astute about making sure everything is up to the director's original standards and
For
vision.
sure. Yeah, for sure. It's funny that your pet peeve is the widescreen 4x3 format, and mine is the black and white. And you don't seem to be bothered by black and white, and I'm not bothered by the aspect ratio. It really doesn't, I don't notice it because my TV is so fucking huge that like
Yeah.
I don't even notice it.
I'm only bothered because if you can use it, for the most part, why not? Like, there are movies that make sense,
It's
but
the same
like
fucking
this
thing
one.
with if you can use color, use color.
Yes, and no. I mean, like Raging Bull, I understand why that's in black and white because the blood was just too much. It would have been almost like a horror movie in
That's not a good
colors.
enough reason.
That was good enough for Martin Scorsese, the greatest director ever.
Whatever.
But like Justice League, like putting Justice League in full screen is insane. Like it makes no fucking sense. I had to take 10 minutes to research it. I thought they put it on wrong when I was watching it for the first time on Crave or something. I was like, there's no way. What the fuck is going on? How'd they fuck that up? And then I was like, nope, he filmed it full screen for no reason.
Yeah. Again, I've forgotten that, but I know it bugs you. And I
It
respect that
does.
it bugs you. I'm not gonna
It
say
does.
I respect their vision. I know exactly why, because they're the best director ever. That's why they did it. No, I'm gonna say, fuck you. director. I'm with Jesse. Fucking take up the whole screen. Don't cut off half of it.
Yeah. I like that, but then sometimes I like black and white. So there you go.
Okay, and sometimes, oh, you like silent movies. Because remember, we used to not be able to have sound in movies. Oh, I like it when they have silent movies now. We know how to do sound.
I like a very small amount of silent movies. And none of the movies that I like that are silent are ones where people are talking a lot. I like the Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, Harold Lloyd type movies where they realize this is what we have to work with. Why even bother doing any kind of thing that should require sound?
Why
Just
did
pretend
you just
that sound doesn't even exist.
Why did you go so quiet right now?
Did I?
Yeah, you're really quiet. Are you playing with something? Are you playing with the volume button or something?
I'm not touching anything.
We'll move closer to the mic.
Hello?
Better?
Is this louder?
A little bit.
I wasn't that far from the mic before.
Okay.
Okay.
Carrying on.
Let's keep going.
All right.
What else would you like to... Go ahead.
Tell me some shit about Paper Moon.
Tell you some facts about Paper Moon?
Or just something that you liked in the movie. Just describe anything that happened in the movie.
I think it's very interesting that Tatum O'Neal, the little girl, was the first one cast. And then her father was cast, which I thought was interesting that they didn't even think of Ryan O'Neal until after Polly Platt, who was Peter Bogdanovich's estranged wife at the time, because he had taken up with his leading lady from the last picture show, Sybil Shepherd. She suggested that Tatum O'Neal be the star of the movie. And then Peter Bogdanovich was like, I've got the greatest idea ever. Let's put her father, Ryan O'Neal, as the star of the movie.
Yeah, that's interesting. Which I didn't even know that it was her actual father. I didn't know that.
No?
No.
Wow. And then she won an Academy Award. She's still the youngest person ever to win a competitive Academy Award. And her father fucking hated it. He didn't even go to the Oscars.
Wow.
And apparently... There's a legend, and I don't want to say this is true or not, but apparently when he heard that she was nominated for Academy Award instead of him, he hit her.
Oh, God.
That's what I was told. And it was on the set of Barry Lyndon. That's just a little tidbit, but I don't know if that's true, but I can see him being resentful of her for getting an Academy Award nomination and Academy Award, and he never did. And she
you can
barely...
see that.
I would be, if I put all of my life into becoming an actor, and when I was, I don't know, 30 years old, I'd finally achieve success, and then my fucking child, who didn't really want to act, just was like, yeah, I'll do the movie, and then gets an Academy Award. I wouldn't necessarily resent her, maybe. I guess maybe I would. I don't know. But I wouldn't be happy about it.
Wow. I thought you were supposed to love your children and be proud when they achieve stuff.
Yeah, you can be proud, but you can also still be resentful.
Hmm.
But he's,
Doesn't
I'm
sound
sure
like he was all that proud.
I don't know. He's also, apparently, I've heard, not one of the nicest people.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, he's dead. So who cares?
Fuck him.
I
okay
think he's dead.
I think she did a great job as a child actor. Did a
okay.
great job,
better than the kid from the Vivitch.
Yeah,
that's why I wanted you to see this movie, because I thought that you would compare these two performances, and hers was good, though apparently another thing from the movie is that she had to do a million takes, and Peter Bogdanovich also hated her.
Oh yeah.
Because she kept screwing up all the lines, even though she was so good, that it was, he said she was like the worst person he's ever worked with. I don't think because she was like a jerk, but just like trying to get the performance out of her was very hard. And, you know, she was 9 years old. Like, it can't be easy for a 9 year old to do anything for a sustained period of time like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, basically just her performance didn't distract me in any way.
Yeah.
So I say, in hindsight, yeah, she was good. and the fact that she's nine, that I might go, wow, that's even better. So good for her. I think, yeah, and to be honest, like he seems like a worse actor. The
Yeah.
father. He seems like he's acting. If I
Yeah.
had to be, compare the two, so I guess he could be resentful that like he sucks at what he's trying to do, and his 9-year-old kid did it
I don't
better.
think he sucks. He probably just by virtue of being an actor, that probably makes him act more, I guess. Like she's not acting as much. He's just kind of doing something. Whereas he's trying to inhabit somebody else and maybe he can't do it.
Okay.
Just because you he's probably bringing all this technique and stuff. And it looks like acting because it is. And she's just trying to be herself and do the role.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean,
But I also thought the other girl who was, I think, 15 years old, the girl who was like the assistant to the floozy character, Madeline Kahn's character, I thought she was good as well because she didn't seem like she was acting. It just seemed like whenever they were together, it was just kind of two kids hanging out.
Yeah, she did stand out to me as a little bit unnatural.
Really?
Yeah, I remember thinking that when they were talking. I'm like, oh, she seems like she's acting.
I thought she was like supernatural.
You're supposed to be the connoisseur of actors, not me.
I suppose if you say so, Adam.
I only notice when they're bad, and the guy seems a little bad, but everybody in every black and white movie has always been bad at acting. Because except for what's his face there, the one guy, Marlon Brando, in On the
Okay.
Waterfront,
Right.
he reinvented acting.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen Citizen Kane in 20, 30, no, 20, 25 years. I haven't seen it, so maybe Orson Welles is a good actor, but I bet she's not. Bet she's
Yeah.
not.
We should watch Citizen Kane.
There's a novel idea.
Okay. Let's put that on the list. Maybe for next week.
No, I don't want to watch it next week. Come on. I can't
Maybe
do
not
two
next
black and
week.
white movies in a row. What are you trying to do?
Ooh, poor Adam. Yeah, I don't like Ryan O'Neal as an actor. It's not that I don't think he's good as an actor. Maybe he's not, I don't know. But I just don't like him as an actor. I thought he was the worst thing about Barry Lyndon, which was a great movie, just more because of Stanley Kubrick's technique and the way he shot it and the way it looked. But I thought Ryan O'Neal was a terrible choice for that movie. Anybody would have been better. So I guess I always have resented him for that, for making Barry Lyndon less than it could have been.
Is he Barry Lyndon?
Yeah, Barry Lyndon.
Okay.
And he was not good.
I don't remember.
You don't remember? We should watch Barry Lyndon.
Okay. Sure. I mean, it can't just be every movie you man. We should watch that.
Well, why
Sure.
not? These are good things. We bring up movies and then we watch them. That's kind of what the podcast is.
Yeah.
Or not. Maybe it isn't. There is one thing before we get back to the movie that I do want to say that you were right about the Peacemaker theme song for season two. So you said a few episodes ago, you said I started out, I didn't understand the song, I didn't like the song, then I grew to love the song.
Yeah, that's accurate.
I stayed kind of quiet, I think,
Okay.
because I hated the song until maybe like a week ago. And then I started kind of, I heard it in the credits and I was like, nah, Julian. And then I was like, fuck, that's kind of a, huh. And
Yeah.
then I looked it up on Spotify and I played it in my car and I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. And then I finally saw
The finale.
the finale, and I was like, this is a fucking great song. This is one of the greatest songs ever.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, how did that happen? For me going to like, what is this bullshit song? Like, is this a joke? Like, is it supposed to be bad and that's why it's funny? Because the dancing, but the dancing's already funny. Why do you need to make a funny song? And then it was like, this song is fucking amazing.
It grew on me, yeah, for sure. It was more that like the first season had such a that song was became so popular because of that opening title, and then they changed the song, and I'm like, well, that's a strange choice. You'd think they'd stick with the song and maybe just do another dance, different dance routine, but we know that song is popular. Why change it up to a song that isn't very good, to a song that we don't like? And then a few episodes in, I'm like, I love this song. And then by that finale, they play it when they're at the concert, the actual song, probably with the actual band, right?
With the band, yeah.
Yeah, and then I loved it. Yeah, it's great.
It's fucking amazing. So thank you for putting that possibility into my head
Okay.
that the song was good.
You're welcome.
I kind of I reevaluated it after you said it was good.
Thanks for coming around and then telling me that you came around to agree with me, as opposed to I always thought that, Adam. I was a step ahead of you. I knew that all along.
No, I stayed quiet because I genuinely did not like the song at that time that you said it. So
Interesting.
I think I just needed somebody else to tell me the song was good. And then I was like, well, somebody else thinks it's good. I should try and like it because then I'll like something somebody else likes. Then I'll be cool.
I think it's just the it's got to be the show. It's the show that makes a song. If we had heard that song 10 times, I don't know if we'd like it. If we had heard it every day over 10 days, probably it's probably any song that you start to recognize. It's probably there's no magic to it. It's just repetitiveness. The radio can make you love any song by just playing it constantly.
Yeah, it can, yeah.
But anyways, I liked it. Okay, let's look back at the Paper Moon. I got a lot of notes written about House of Dynamite, but let's see what Paper Moon says. Oh, I like the scams that they pull. Some of the scams that they pull are pretty simple, like the making change scam, which is just you confuse somebody by just giving them a bunch of numbers. And I'm like, I bet you I've fallen for that scam when I worked in retail. Because I
For
remember
sure.
sometimes when somebody would hand me money and then take back and then say, well, here, I'll give you this much more change, then you can give me a full bill, and then you know what, I'll do this. And I just am get so confused that I'm like, and I don't want to admit, hold on, I'm not smart enough to keep up with all the stuff you just said. I can't do the math that quickly in my head. I'm not as fast as you, I'm not as intelligent you as you. No one wants to admit that. So we end up just going like, here's all the money in the till. Just take it all. You figure it out. I'll just trust you because I can't admit to myself or to you that I'm not as smart as you. And it's an easy scam to pull over on someone. And I bet you people have pulled it on me. And now I'm confident enough that if someone was doing that to me and I started to realize I'm getting confused here, I'd go, oh, hold on, hold on. You're going too fast for me. I need a calculator for this. I'm an idiot. Like, I have no problem saying that today, which is real confidence because I'll just admit that I'm not smart. Okay. And trying to fake confidence back in my 20s, I probably got taken on these scams.
Probably. I think I got taken one time just because a guy was like, hey, I gave you a nice looking $10 bill. You gave me a shitty looking five. And I was like, okay. And he's like, give me the 10 back. And I think I just gave him the fucking 10 back.
That's not
Like,
even a
it wasn't even a
scam.
scam.
Just a threat.
It was the weirdest thing though. He's like, I gave you a nice looking bill. You give me a nice looking bill. And I was like, hit what? Here you go. He just made $10.
We used to always be short in change at
Oh,
Radio
yeah?
Shack, like every single day. And the acceptable amount was like $2. If you're within $2,
Yeah, $2, yeah.
you can go ahead and close the
Yep.
books. But if you're not, you got to go and do all the math and kind of count everything all over again.
Yeah.
But every single day we were short, and I'm like,
Yeah, how do you do that?
Well, I just accepted it as part of business. I'm like, I guess this is reality. But then
Yeah.
afterwards, I'm like, how hard is it to make change? Like, how the
Yeah.
fuck were we short every single day, or
Yeah.
sometimes over, but mostly short?
Yeah.
And it's probably because the employees would just steal a dollar,
Yeah.
probably, as soon as no one was looking.
There were two girls at when I worked at kitchen table who ran this pretty, I guess, sophisticated scam where they were cashiers and they would offer to go get change for people, right? So the person would say, okay, I need two rolls of loonies and a roll of toonies and a roll of quarters, right? So they would go back to the back to the manager and say, okay, I need like the change, but then twice as much of the change, right? And then they would bring them the change they asked for, and they would pocket the rest. And I guess they stole like a few thousand dollars each before they got caught.
So it's not that sophisticated.
Well, it was pretty sophisticated in the sense that they weren't just fucking taking quarters out of the till.
That's
Obviously, they were
true.
gonna get caught because these girls were like the other girls were short, like sometimes $50 a night
Right.
because the manager was writing it down correctly. And nobody could figure out like what the problem was because they were just giving, right? Like they're just taking the change and like they couldn't keep track of the change they'd gotten from the manager that
Yeah.
day, especially if they were working the day shift, which was really busy. So these girls pocketed like a decent amount of money. And then somehow they suspect, I think they fired me because I was friendly with them. And
Yeah.
they were like, that guy's got to be in on it. There's something wrong with him.
No.
And I'd never stolen a cent
I
from anywhere, including that place. And they were like, we got to get rid of this guy.
wouldn't say it's sophisticated. Because I'm like, you're gonna get caught. Yeah, it's they got away with it for 2 weeks. Wow,
They got away
great.
with it for a long time. Like I would say more like 2 months.
Okay, well, that's longer than it should have taken. But maybe they were smart enough to just not be doing it every single shift they worked. Maybe they went, this shift we won't do it, but probably more
Yeah.
likely they got away with it a few times, and then they kept ramping it up until they were doing it every single shift,
They
and then that's when
probably
they
did,
got
yeah.
caught.
Yeah.
But I would say the more sophisticated ones are the people that steal, and they make the till balance. So they issue a fake refund. And I've seen some
Yeah.
people do that with
Okay.
like at places that weren't being monitored too closely, and I found them in the Mr. Sub chain where I was like, how come you're doing like $50 in refunds a day? And the franchisee is like, I don't know. I didn't even know we were doing any refunds. Like I wasn't even
Yeah.
aware of that. And it's like, yeah, that's you're doing refunds of 50. They're just taking it. They're just taking that employee. And then we had to narrow it down by who's working on those shifts, and we found them pretty fast. And but they've been getting away with it for a long time, like
Oh
months
yeah.
and months and months and months. And the franchisee would never have caught it ever because she didn't
Yeah.
even work there. She worked at
Yeah,
a different business.
balances, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. That's a bit more sophisticated to think ahead.
That's a lot more sophisticated
Yeah.
than just robbing people of change.
Yeah. And there'd be, yeah. But the refunds is a simple one, but not people don't think to do it. Anyways. Okay.
I
Paper
wonder,
Moon?
like,
No.
what's an acceptable, because you worked at a, you managed a store. What's an acceptable rate of loss for like customer stealing?
Customer stealing.
Yeah, like what, like for like Radio Shack, what would be like an acceptable amount of loss?
I don't think we had a number that we were told that's acceptable.
No? Okay. Because so in Walmart, they've now taken out all of the self-service. Like there's like it used to be more than 50-50 self-service. And now they've taken out almost all the self-service and replaced them with regular registers again. So I was just kind of wondering, like, I wonder how much they got fucking like
Well, that's our
stolen
co we had that
from.
conversation a few weeks ago when you were saying somebody was mad because there were no self-service checkouts open,
Yeah.
and I the only thing I could think of was that it's about theft, is that it's about like when they open those tills, they lose a bunch,
Yeah.
and that's the only thing I could think of, and now it sounds like that's exactly what it was.
It seems like it because now there's like so many cashiers And like the odd time, you'll see like a really closely monitored self-service, but not like it used to be where people would just walk in and just do whatever the fuck they wanted. And there was like one cashier helping.
Right.
Now it's like almost 1-to-1. Like it might as well just not be self-service.
So I guess that means whatever the salary of the person checking them out was, that was how much they were losing more than that, the
They
theft.
were, yeah. Like
Crazy.
it would have to be a ton, like just an absolute ton
Yeah.
at Walmart. Like I can't even imagine what they think, like what they've deemed as acceptable rates of theft.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought you might.
They
I
don't
thought you
know.
might. What else you wanted to talk about the House of Dynamite? What's up with the House of Dynamite?
So I watched it, and you just told me, watch it. They do a thing that you weren't a big fan of. And as soon as it got past Act One, 40 minutes into the movie, and they did the flashback from a different point of view, I went, fuck, I totally know what Jesse was talking about. And now I'm in for another, at least one more of these.
At least.
And while that was happening, there was no tension throughout Act Two because
Nope.
you already knew that
You've already seen it.
the intercepting missile does not take it down. So there was,
Yeah.
you totally lost me on that. I didn't give a shit
Yep.
about the other guy's perspective.
Nope.
And while that was happening, I'm like, well, I'm definitely in for another one of these from somebody
Yep.
else's point of view, probably Idris Elba's, because he's been on the phone, so I'm going to have to see it from his point of view.
Yeah.
And as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, they're not going to show me the ending because they don't have, because if you're only going to do 20 minutes, which 20 minutes of the movie, but it takes up 40 minutes on the screen, you're
Yeah.
going to show me that same 20 minute, 20 minute, 20 minute. There's no way they're going to have an aftermath after the bomb hits.
Yeah.
So I predicted it. It's either going to not show you what happens, or, well, okay, let me think about this for a second. It couldn't be that he doesn't order the strike and the bomb hits. That
Right.
would be impossible. So the only other ending would be that he orders the strike back and then it wasn't a bomb all along. Nothing
Yeah.
hits. And then he goes, oh God, I've destroyed the world because I made the
Right.
wrong choice.
Yeah.
That was never going to happen.
Right.
So you're left with just nothing. They're not going to show you the ending.
Well, kudos to you for realizing that they weren't going to show the ending. Because I stayed through this fucking thing the whole time, being like, they're doing it, so they even though they did it completely wrong and there was no tension, they're trying to ratchet up the tension every single time, and then they let it off, and then they ratchet it up and they let it off, and then at the end you're gonna get the big payoff, and then they just fucking didn't. And I was
No.
so mad.
Well, let's
I was so fucking mad. Like, you can't do that three times and not give a payoff.
Right. Yeah, I just knew it based on the timing. I'm like, there's no way that they could have the bomb hit and then do another hour on
Yeah.
now what do we do? Do we retaliate? I
Yeah.
just knew there wasn't enough time to do, and then I also knew that, like I said, okay. Let me just say this. If this had been a white, orange version of the president, I
Okay.
could see him making the wrong decision and retaliating before the bomb even hits, right?
Yeah,
But
sure.
because he wasn't a white, orange, 80-year-old guy or however old Trump is,
Yeah.
they made a black guy who's closer to the last president.
Obama.
Yeah,
The
thanks.
second last president, but
Thanks.
or third last, depending on how you wanna, yeah.
Okay, thank you. They made it closer to that like a rational president,
Yeah.
maybe.
Yeah, smart guy. Yeah.
I'm like, he can't do the wrong thing. They will
Yeah.
not have him do the
Right.
wrong thing, which would be,
Yeah.
and it was also insane to think that he was about to retaliate before the bomb even went off.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like the other guy was saying, basically, that's suicide if you retaliate
Yeah.
now. Like you'd be,
Yeah.
you might as well just wait until the whole city is nuked and then make
Yeah.
your decision.
Exactly. It's
And
either going to happen or it's not.
try to figure out who you're going after too.
Yeah.
And then of course you've got the one advisor who's saying like, just you only have now to decide, sir.
Yeah.
You have to decide right now because it's our only chance of survival. And so you're like, I don't think they're going to show us this ending. I don't think
Yeah.
so. I don't think they can't have him doing the wrong thing. And what would be the right thing? The right thing would be wait until it hits. And
Yeah.
so what are they going to have? Some like it was a duck. We cut a it was a duck. All it wasn't a bomb at all. And
Yeah.
what are they going to do?
Yeah. Well, okay, so I pictured the ending being the bomb hits and then that's it. Like,
Because
at
that,
least give us the bomb hitting, even if nothing happens after that.
no, they can't. You can't. What are you gonna? How you can't? They just
But like,
couldn't
you
end it
could
like that.
just give me something.
Yeah.
Anything. I'll take anything
Yeah.
that happens after that 20 minutes. That's the whole point of the movie. They also introduce characters and places and then never go back to them. And you're like, there's like something like special training site on the Pacific Ocean, and they never went back to it.
Oh
And it's
yeah.
like, wait a second, what? Isn't there, are they gonna do anything? Like, oh my God, it was so frustrating from one of my favorite directors ever, one of the great directors who's done a million different things, but she seems to be kind of making a lot of these war movies now, which is fine, but I couldn't believe that she made a movie this bad, Kathryn Bigelow.
Okay, well, that was what I was going to say too. The if they had the bomb go off and they hadn't retaliated, then and then the movie ends.
Yeah.
What's the message that she's trying to say? What the message is that the US
Shit
should have
happens.
retaliated? That's the message. Shit
I think
happens.
the
I got
message is that there's no good outcome. Maybe. I don't know. We could at least think of it if they had to put something in.
But you can't have the movie end like that. You can't have the bomb go off and then the president hasn't ordered the retaliation, or he has ordered the retaliation. You can't end the movie with the bomb going off, and you can't end the movie with the bomb not going off. Like, there's no way to do it. So it's a total cop out of being like, let's just not show. Let's have the audience have this debate and talk about it and stuff.
They should have done something, anything. It was just a waste of fucking time.
Yeah, when it finished, I'm like, oh, the audience is not going to be happy with that ending. Like, the critics might, whatever, they might agree to something, but the
Right.
audience is not going to like that. And I looked at Rotten Tomatoes and it was pretty much the same, like 75% critics, 75% audience approved. And I'm like, that's surprising.
Approved. Wow. I thought you were going to say hated.
No, they 3 out of 4 people, I guess, would say they liked it, which is very surprising to me on the audience side, because
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know how you could be satisfied with that.
I'm baffled. 75% of the people liked it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
That's
I did
crazy.
see a lot of well, I saw a lot of I went back and listened to Blank Check, the episode they did about it. And they were the same thing. They were saying the exact same thing as you and me. Like, the fuck? What are you going to do? How are you going to go back and show me the same thing 3 times and then not have any tension in the second and the third part of it? And yeah, they were saying the same stuff as you and I. And I'm guessing most of the audience would have felt the same way too. Like, how are you going to be satisfied with that?
I wonder if you go back to the tomato meter in a week or two, if it'll be completely different.
Or maybe I go back to it right now.
Oh, live tomato metering. Let's see what's up on the with the Rotten Tomatoes for this movie.
76% critics approve, 78% audience
Oh
approve.
my God. What the fuck is wrong? Wow.
Very strange.
That's incredible.
All right.
I think people just love Netflix. They love Idris Elba. They love Anthony Ramos and they love Netflix.
Could be. I don't know. Let's move on to Eddington.
Let's move on to it. This is a movie. It's got a lot of ideas, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of points to make. And at first, I was like, this is just kind of annoying. Their masks are bad, masks are good. This is bad, this is good, this is stupid, this is not stupid, these people are dumb. And then I realized they didn't choose a side, which was good. And I got deeper into it and I was like, this is kind of a quirky movie about these two guys, and it's really kind of showing us what happened 4 or 5 years ago now. And it's really showing us how hindsight is so much clearer than where we were in the moment. And I started really loving it. And
Yeah.
then it turned into a different movie again. And I was like, well, now I just don't like this anymore.
Oh.
I really liked the movie that it was turning into.
What you got to tell me what you the movie it was turning into. What movie would that be?
It was turning into a movie about how we treated each other during COVID and how it brought out the worst from all people, on all sides. And everybody was wrong about everything because it was unprecedented.
When did it
And
turn into a movie you didn't like?
I think it was the moment that Joaquin Phoenix shot a guy, assassinated a guy, and then I was like, why? Wait a second, what? Now he's just a sniper, a murdering sniper. Like, this movie was a good character study and a study of us as a society at a certain time. And then it turned into like a kind of a Coen Brothers noir movie, sort of. Like, or not even, I actually, Coen Brothers is giving it far too much credit. Just a normal guys shooting each other movie, like a kind of a Western. But I don't know, like it had me and then it lost me.
Well, I can say I was bored up until Joaquin Phoenix killed him. That's when I got interested. Because it, I didn't see that coming. I thought the rest of the movie was going to be more like you said, just give it like who's right, who's wrong on different sides of the argument. And I didn't really care too much about that. I was interested at the beginning that they weren't picking a side. They weren't just showing you that Joaquin Phoenix is a total moron. And it's tough to see. I mean, yeah, it is. I didn't like being back in the wearing the mask days, first of all. I
It
didn't
was
like
tough.
that. It's still too fresh. Still too fresh. I didn't like reliving that. So up until it became a fucking weird noir crazy, he's got a machine gun and he's shooting everywhere in the town, which was fucking awesome. I was
Like
laughing out
Arnold
loud.
Schwarzenegger.
I was cheering at that point in the movie when he was coming out. I'm like, this has gone fucking nuts, which is great because that's what I wanted to happen. I wanted it to go Ari Aster, fucking crazy, weird shit happening. And it was awesome by that point. And then, yeah, and then there's a lot to think about after it got finished. I'm like, what the hell was going on? There was so many different things going on. And it's kind of fun to think about all the different stuff.
It was fun to think about all the different stuff, but then I was like, well, and the different stuff, I mean the societal stuff. Like, and there was like some really funny stuff going on, like Pedro Pascal's political ad where he's playing piano in the street for no reason. Like, just weird stuff, like quotes like COVID stays alive on paper for 5 weeks, stuff like crazy shit like that. And you're like, this is, he's not, like, nothing in that movie related to COVID was wrong. Like, that should you wear a mask to make sure people aren't sick? Sure. Do you have to wear a mask by yourself on a Zoom call? Probably not. Like, He made all these points for all the crazy things that happened on both sides. Should you maybe let an old guy who's dying into your grocery store instead of starving because he probably doesn't have COVID? Maybe. But at the same time, Joaquin Phoenix obviously got COVID during the movie, his character, and he almost died from the COVID because he never wore a mask. And you're like, wow, that's a good point too. Even though he was you thought he was making all these good points about stuff. And you're like, well, yeah, it's the that stuff happens too. It was, and then there people are always having parties in this movie with masks on. There's always parties. And you're like, well, just don't have the fucking parties. Just stay at home. But they have to have the parties. And sometimes they're wearing masks and sometimes they're not. And I don't know. It was great up until up until the part that you liked. And there were still some funny moments, like when he lands on the bones of Geronimo, when he falls through the roof and he's firing the machine gun, and like the weird, are they Antifa terrorists?
I don't know.
That they said, I think they are, and that's hilarious because it just doesn't exist. Like, there's no Antifa private planes going around with mercenaries in them. That'd be ridiculous. But I thought that was funny, but it just became like a shoot 'em up movie, which you found interesting, but you didn't find, like, up until Pedro Pascal died, you weren't sort of interested in what the movie was doing, what it was going for.
Yeah, it was okay up until that point. I thought it got more interesting after that. But so the best way I can summarize it, the way that I kind of interpreted it, was that it was showing how crazy we all went because of a crisis. And we're and I think like I almost think like the whole Black Lives Matter riots and protests that happened around the same time was a direct result of being told to stay indoors for 6 months up until that point. Or maybe it's not even that long. If it was May, it happened in March, April, May, only a few months into it. But having your whole world change where you're told you can't come out of your house. And if you do come out of your house, you got to wear a mask all the time and you got to stay 6 feet away from each other. And all that, all the rules and the government's imposing all these rules. And it's just showing we all went crazy. Everybody went crazy. And like a response to having this is like a protest about, and it did happen. Like the guy got killed. What was his name? The black guy that got killed?
George Floyd.
Yeah, George Floyd got killed in a horrible way. And but as a reaction to that, like all these white people out protesting, saying like I like the one scene where the kid's telling his parents
Oh, that was
about
the
how bad it is to be white or whatever.
We have to abolish whiteness.
Yeah, and then the dad goes, "Are you retarded? You're white."
And the other great detail about that scene was there's so many guns right behind them at the dinner table.
Oh, yeah.
There's like 100 guns, and you're like, he's making another point that the kid is scared. Because there's so many guns and there's so much craziness, but they never draw attention to it. Like, there's a lot of things like that that they don't draw attention to that I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, I think the guy's still brilliant. I think there's
Me
so
too.
much to unpack with this movie, all the different messages. Now, I did read a little bit about it. That ending scene with the data center they've built there. The data center is named something gold something.
Solid Gold Magikorp.
Yeah, and that's apparently a real thing. And I read about it, but I don't really understand what they were saying. It's some sort of a bug in artificial intelligence that causes the large language models to misinterpret or get stuff wrong, like simple things, it gets them wrong because of the way that it's trained. And so the guy that I was reading, he wrote a big long thing saying, so that's the message, like all this crazy crap is happening, and it's kind of like humans have taken their learning, their experiences throughout life, and they're reacting to something in the wrong way. I don't know.
Oh wow, okay.
He made
Yeah.
a lot of interesting points. But it just made me realize, like, the movie's very deep, like all the shit that's going on. Like, there's a lot of
Yeah.
ideas happening at
Yeah.
once. And I just enjoyed it. I just enjoyed him coming out with a machine gun shooting in every direction, just trying to
Yeah.
kill everything in the whole town.
Yeah.
But there's so much stuff that happens at the end after he gets stabbed in the head and becomes a vegetable. The kid who's been the social justice warrior gets all this following.
Yeah.
I don't really know what that was all about.
Yeah, I guess because he saved Joaquin Phoenix, so he became an internet celebrity. He filmed himself saving Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, but the guy that I was reading was trying to point out, like, all the bad people profit, like all the people that are wrong profit. Now, the kid didn't really do anything wrong to make to seem like he profited, so I didn't really get what they were trying to say about him. Like, yes, the woman with the crazy conspiracy theories, the mother of the girl, I don't know.
Emma Stone, yeah.
Yeah, the mother of Emma Stone, she profited by aligning herself with the politicians or something, and then they aligned with the guy that was backing the other guy because it's all about money. So yeah, those guys I see, they all ended up profiting, but I don't really get the kid with the social media why he would be considered wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see why he would be considered wrong. He was just I just saw him as kind of opportunistic.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's just, well, he just wanted the girl. That's all he wanted.
Yeah, for the most part.
So, can't fault him on that.
No, he wanted the girl and
He doesn't sell out the wrong guy because he thinks he's seeing an opportunity to sell out the wrong guy. He believes that guy did commit the murders.
the black police officer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he does, yeah.
So,
They do a pretty good job of framing him for it, Joaquin Phoenix does.
yeah, but the kid, when the kid delivers, he says, "I sent a message to that guy." Joaquin Phoenix takes the opportunity to frame him.
Yeah. The kid doesn't try to frame him, he just gives him the idea to frame him.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I agree
Accidentally.
with them that he was saying like all the wrong people profit. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I guess it's maybe people who don't deserve it.
Maybe that's a better way to look at it. People that don't
Yeah.
deserve. But Joaquin Phoenix, does he deserve to end up like that? Yeah. I would
Yeah.
say he does. So he got what he deserved.
Yeah, he's kind of a murderer. He's not a good guy
I would also
in the movie.
say there's a theme going on that's about weak-minded, susceptible people being taken advantage of. Clearly, Emma Stone and her mother, who's just full of conspiracy theories, then Emma Stone gets sucked into a cult by somebody. Like, they're just looking for a guru.
Austin Butler's cult, yeah. Where everyone's like, there's so many pedophiles in the world. Everyone's a pedophile in his world.
Yeah.
That's another great thing that's become prevalent is that there's just like billions of pedophiles out there.
Well, then you get the impression that Emma Stone's father
Yeah,
definitely was. Okay.
for sure. Yeah. But she was, of course, sucked into it, and now because she was molested, she thinks everybody's a pedophile. It's that it's like a structured thing. Like it's an organized group of pedophiles or something like that. Like there's a whole network of people when it's, I'm sure it is if you count human trafficking, but I don't think individual pedophiles are networked. I don't know. You would know better than I would. There's one performance that I would like to call attention to, and that's Clifton Collins Jr. plays the crazy homeless guy, and he doesn't have any, like, you think an actor who's, not famous but a good actor would at least get like some kind of speech or something. He doesn't get anything, and it makes it even better that nobody would know it's him. He doesn't have anything to do other than act crazy, and he just is in the movie,
Yeah.
and it's great. I loved it.
He plays a good crazy guy, for sure.
Yeah, but I thought for sure like they'd have something where he lays out his whole life story, and it would be really sad or something like that, and you would feel for him, and then he would die of COVID or something like that. But
Okay.
no, he's just crazy.
Yeah, I didn't see that ever being a possibility that he would suddenly become sane and explain it to everybody. He was a ranting lunatic.
Maybe not sane necessarily, but coherent.
I thought he was perfect. I thought his character came in as the crazy person and just wandered around town, being exactly what these guys are in reality. That's what they are. Like, they're so far gone that there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do for them. And then he just was the I don't know, the catalyst for Joaquin Phoenix just taking his anger out because he'd been slapped and humiliated at a party in front of 100 people. And he just turned his rage into killing the homeless guy that he was trying to be nice to earlier in the movie.
He wasn't trying to hurt him. He was just trying to calm him down, and he
And then
paid
he
the
gets a taste
price.
for it. He gets a taste for murder. He's like, oh, that was easy. I got away with this. I'm gonna go and assassinate the two people that I really hate. But that's when you didn't like it.
No, I don't know. It's and look, I would highly recommend the movie still, but I didn't like that ending. I liked it after he became like a vegetable. I thought that was back to the first movie. We were back to that, but then that whole intervening time with the crazy Antifa terrorist guys on the plane and the big chase scene, I wasn't a big fan of it.
I didn't even know who was trying to assassinate him at the end.
I thought it was Antifa.
What's Antifa? What do they do?
It's like a it's a group of people. They're not really organized, but it's basically a group of people who go out and they kind of protest. They mostly cause trouble, and it stands for anti-fascists. So
Okay.
basically they protest Trump and people like that, and they cause trouble and try to break things.
And are they the people protesting that black lives do matter, or are they against black lives don't matter? What are they?
No, so they would be on I guess they would be on the Black Lives Matter side, but they're the people who kind of go into the middle of the protests and cause trouble, like do property damage and things like that.
Okay, so because I thought at the end of the movie they were blaming the terrorists. They were saying they were Black Lives Matter protesters.
Yes,
Okay.
they were
But
saying that.
you're saying there was somewhere else where they said they were Antifa.
No, there was some very slight, nobody said it, but there was a very slight reference to it. I forget where exactly.
Okay.
But it made me think at least that it was a joke that Antifa was like a highly funded terrorist organization, which they aren't. It's mostly just people on the internet saying, let's go to this protest and try to create change by damaging things.
I thought they kind of purposely didn't tell you who was trying to kill him because it was a sign of the madness. It was a sign of unexplained craziness that was going on in the movie. But I
Well,
could be wrong.
I think they didn't draw too much attention to it. I'd have to watch it again, but there was like a little just a very short, I don't even know if it was something somebody said or it was just like something on the like a written thing. I can't remember what it was in the movie, but I was like, oh, this is funny. These guys are supposed to be Antifa.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure why. I could have been wrong. I could have been linking two things that didn't go together, but that's the impression that I got.
Okay.
You haven't told me about if you like the Chair Company yet.
I like it. It's
It's the
good.
best.
All right.
It's insane. I love that everything he does is just fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And you think like, oh, this is just a normal scene, and then there's a guy hiding in his closet who's
Yeah.
drunk, and you're like, what the fuck's going on? And there's like this company, and like it makes no sense. And he's looking up a woman's skirt, and they just keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
Like, why did you have your hand around her in the thing? He's like, I was in a play. What was I supposed to do? And he just keep like finding him doing stupid shit. It's just, I don't know how he comes up with this shit, but Tim Robinson's insane.
You think he wrote
He created it, him and some other
No?
guy. So I'm
Okay.
pretty sure he had a pretty big hand in it.
Yeah, I didn't look at the credits.
Plus, I can't think of anybody else just writing something that crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Like,
It's very entertaining.
very entertaining. I also want to, if you haven't seen this movie, there's a good movie called The Long Walk that just came out. Have you heard of that?
Oh, no, Stephen King book?
Yeah, but it's not like a horror book.
No.
It's very good. You should watch it.
Yeah, I'm planning to.
Yeah, I read the book a couple years ago because of the there's a podcast about Stephen King's books that I was watching, and they kept bring or listening to, and they kept bringing up this book all the time and how nobody had adapted it and it was so great. And so I read the book and I was like, this is a really good book. And the movie is just as good.
Isn't it one of his first books?
Apparently, yeah, it was written like well before he got famous. And it
Yeah.
was published, I think, 10 years after it was written,
Oh.
after he became really famous. And they published it under his pseudonym because it wasn't a Stephen King-like book. But it's a really good early work of Stephen King.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it.
Okay, good. Anything else we got to discuss today?
No.
I Inherent Vice in Buffalo 66.
Okay. Sure.
We're gonna have a rockin' time, and then maybe. Let's do a little teaser. You'll tell me your thoughts on the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
Okay.
Whatever that's called. I'm blanking on the name of it right now, even though I listened to 4 hours worth of podcast on it today.
And you haven't seen it, or you have seen it?
I've seen it, yeah.
Oh, the one with
Leonardo DiCaprio.
yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah,
Have you seen it?
I'm definitely gonna watch it though.
All right, watch that one. Watch these other ones.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. My computer is about to explode. I gotta end the meeting.
All right, goodbye, Adam.